Now, if you're bothered by the aches and pains of life in an aging body, take heart. It'll be transformed into glorious perfection on your first day in heaven. Today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah considers the many ways in which your perfect heavenly body will be an improvement over your current physical form. From the promise of heaven, here's David to introduce his message, A Body for Heaven.
Well, thank you for joining us. Those of you who are on your way to heaven, let me tell you something about your journey. The Bible says you will not go to heaven in your current body. Well, the Bible says you're going to get an upgrade. You're going to get an upgraded body because the body you have now is not fit for heaven. That's what the book of Corinthians says. You need a heavenly body. And the Bible says that we're going to get a body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came out of the grave. The resurrection body of Jesus will be the example of the body we will have. We're going to talk about that and what that means on today's program. It is fascinating. God has done everything to prepare you for your eternity in heaven, and part of that eternity preparation is a new body. I love to say that because my body's wearing out. How about yours? And I'm looking forward to getting a new model here one of these days before I go to heaven. We have that coming up in just a moment. But before we do that, let me remind you that Turning Point publishes a magazine. And that magazine, every month I get it, and I'm just so blessed when I see the beautiful artwork and photography that puts this beautiful publication together. And over 300,000 people receive this in their homes, and many of them download the devotional information. We know this is having a great impact on people across the country, but maybe you have kind of slipped by the announcements and haven't done anything about it. Why don't you order your first copy of Turning Points magazine and devotional, and you will want to have every copy from now on, I promise. Here is A Body for Heaven from the series The Promise of Heaven here on Turning Point. Human beings are destined for more than we currently experience. The limitations on our body are temporary limitations if we're Christians. I'm talking about the physical transformation of all followers of Jesus. And we're going to experience that moment at the resurrection, at the time of the rapture. The resurrection is more than resuscitation, friends. It's transformation. We're going to be changed. Three people rose from the dead in the Old Testament, and Jesus raised three people from death during his ministry. A boy in the town of Nain, a girl in Capernaum, and his friend Lazarus. Both Peter and Paul brought back some people from death, but each of those examples were temporary resurrections. And I always felt bad for Lazarus. He had to die twice. They became sick or suffered, had an accident. Once again, they passed away. Christ arose in a different way. The essence of his physical body was changed. It was glorified. It was rendered everlasting, imperishable, and improved with various skills and abilities to enjoy forever. After his transformational resurrection, he would not and could not ever die again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead provides the proof and the pattern for what's ahead for all of his children. In Philippians 3:21, we're told that Christ, listen to this, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be conformed to his glorious body. In 1 John 3:2, we read, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now let's explore what that means. People want to know, what is my new body going to be like? And there's no passage in the scripture that says, here's what the new body of a Christian will look like. But we have almost the same thing, because if we're going to have bodies like the Lord Jesus, if we study the Lord Jesus after his resurrection, we'll discover what kind of bodies we're going to have, because we're going to have bodies just like him. First of all, our new bodies will be incarnate. And the word incarnate means in the flesh, a real physical bodily existence. We're not going to have spirit bodies, as some people teach. I don't even know if there is such a thing. I think that's an oxymoron, isn't it? A spirit body? That's why we say our new bodies will be incarnate. We won't be floating spirits. We'll have real physical bodies, just like the resurrected Lord. And if we're going to have a glorious body, like the body of the resurrected Lord, then what does that mean? While we can't know all that it means, we can get some ideas by watching the Lord as he walked on earth in his resurrection body. He was on earth in his resurrection body for 40 days. And in those 40 days, he showed us some examples of how our resurrection bodies will function in heaven. First of all, Jesus said his body was real. Behold my hands and my feet, Luke 24:39, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. Jesus wanted his disciples to know that this wasn't a dream or a vision. He had really and physically risen from the dead, and his resurrection wasn't just spiritual, it was flesh and bones real. Here's something that'll make all of you really happy. Jesus ate on at least two occasions after he came back from the dead. Luke 24 says they gave Jesus a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. John 21 says Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. And none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. More than a few people have suggested that in heaven, we will be able to eat without any of the negative effects. Can I get a witness? We will eat without gaining weight. We will eat and taste food like never before. Chocolate will have no greater effect on your waistline than vegetables. How about that? So Jesus said his body was real. On two occasions he ate. So in our resurrection bodies, we can assume that we'll be able to do that as well. And then he also told Thomas to touch his body. Remember that? He said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it in my side. Don't be unbelieving, but believing. Jesus had real scars on a real body. His body was glorified, but it was still recognizable and touchable. He retained the scars in his resurrection body to prove his identity and to remind all of us throughout eternity of the cost of our salvation. Did you know that Jesus is going to be in heaven in his body? He didn't go back to a spirit being after his incarnation. He went back to heaven in his body, and we're going to see him in his body with the wounds in his hands, in his side, and in his feet throughout all eternity. And every time we see that, we're going to be reminded that's how we got there. That's why we're there. It is possible that Jesus might be the only one whose scars remain because they tell a story that no one else can tell. And then one other thought about his resurrection body. Do you remember when Jesus told Mary not to hold on to him? John 20:17, Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father. He said, Mary, don't hold me like this. She didn't want to lose him. This shows us that Jesus had a real body you could touch. He was getting ready to go back to heaven, and one day we'll have new bodies like his, and we won't need to cling to him because we'll be with him forever and ever. And he won't leave us. So the first thing about our new bodies is they will be incarnate, flesh and bones bodies. You know, when Jesus came back from his death on the cross, he was the same Jesus except in a new body. Our bodies will also be identifiable. A lot of people worry about that. You will still be you, and everyone will recognize you. You'll instantly know your loved ones. On two occasions after his resurrection, people were confused about the Lord's identity. The first was at the tomb when Mary Magdalene thought Jesus was the gardener. Remember that? But her eyes were filled with tears, and she quickly recognized him. The other was on the Emmaus Road when two travelers thought he was a stranger, but that's because the Bible says their eyes were restrained so that they would not know him. On every other occasion, people identified Jesus and called him by name. And they will call you by name, too, as soon as they see you. The Apostle Paul said of that day, now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. In describing the moment of our resurrection in 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul told the people not to grieve beyond measure over those who had passed away. He said, "For we will see them again and be caught up into the heavens with them." 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Three men in Jesus' story about the afterlife, Abraham, the beggar Lazarus, and the rich man in Hades, all recognized each other. At the transfiguration of Christ in Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John recognized Elijah, Moses, and the brilliantly illuminated Jesus. Here we have three men whose earthly lives were separated by 1,400 years, and yet they all knew each other. They were standing there physically fellowshipping with and talking together. Can you imagine having a discussion with Abraham or Isaac or Daniel? And it's like yesterday talking to your friend downtown. Moses and Elijah were known by their same names, but they were glorified. They were energized. They were wrapped in light. Perhaps the best answer is the one I heard years ago. An old lady approached her pastor and said, "Dr. Jones, will I know my daughter when I get to heaven? She's there waiting on me." Dr. Jones said, "My dear, did you recognize her on earth?" "Yes." "Well, we aren't going to be less aware in heaven than we are on earth, are we? We'll actually be smarter and our memories will be keener. Yes, you will instantly recognize your sweet daughter." Missionary Amy Carmichael wrote these words. She said, "Shall we know each other in heaven? Shall we love and remember? I don't think anyone need wonder about this or doubt for a single moment. For if we think for a moment, we know. Would you be yourself if you did not remember? We are told that we shall be like our Lord Jesus, and does he not know and love and remember? He would not be himself if he did not, and we should not be ourselves if we did not. We're going to be like Jesus. Our new bodies will be incarnate in the flesh. You'll be able to identify them. And they will be, here you go, indestructible. 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "The body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption." The word "sown" refers to the argument Paul made earlier in the chapter about being afraid of death. And he said, "Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies." And the picture is of a seed being planted in the soil, then germinating and then sprouting into something new. And the same path we follow when we die. We are sown in corruption, and then we are raised in incorruption. What is corruption? It is what happens to our old bodies that suffer strokes, heart attacks, cancer, diabetes, arthritis, asthma, migraines, and all of the rest. And the Bible says our outward man is perishing. From the instant of our resurrection, our new bodies will never wear out or never grow old. They will be totally resistant to deterioration or decay. Your new body will be designed for eternity. It will not be subject to accidents, diseases, aging, or death. It will be pain-free and disease-free. It will never wear out. It will never die. And the exclamation point to this truth is found in Romans 6, 8, and 9, which describes the resurrection body of Jesus. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." And that will be true of all of us too. Death has no mastery over us in our resurrection bodies. These words about our Savior, "he cannot die again." His glorified body is imperishable, it's indestructible. And this is the model for the bodies we're going to have when we go to heaven. So our bodies will be incarnate in the flesh. They will be identifiable. We'll know each other. They'll be indestructible. Nothing could ever happen to them. Here's one that I was surprised to find out when I studied this. Our new bodies will be illuminated. You know, everybody wants to have that glow about them. You're going to get that glow one of these days. 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, "Our body is sown in dishonor and it is raised in glory." And the word "glory" here is a word which means brilliance. And it's not really surprising if you go back and study the Bible, because remember, something unusual happened to Moses when he spent time with the Lord. Remember that? His face was radiant and began to shine. Same thing happened to Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. And in Revelation 21, we're told the entire city of New Jerusalem will be luminescent, illumined by the light that radiates from the resurrected Christ. And it won't be sun or moon or anything. All the light will come from Christ. And we're going to be reflectors of that light. We're going to have a little shine around us as we move about. Our bodies will shine with light like Moses' face did after being with God and like Jesus did on the mountain. Psalm 34, verse 5 says, they looked at him and they were radiant. By the way, shouldn't our faces exhibit a foretaste of that now? I mean, shouldn't we have a little bit of that glow even now? The scripture says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Now, I don't know if that gets through to you, but what that says is we have a little bit of that glory now, but when we go to heaven, we're going to go from glory to glory. And I want to tell you, some of us are going to have farther to go than others. I know Christian people, some older Christian people, who just always seem to have a special, I don't know if it was a glow, just a sense about them that was different. So your face will reflect your anticipation for heaven. Did you know that? When people look at you, do they see the glow of God's goodness and mercy and love? Our resurrection bodies will be indestructible, identifiable, incarnate, illuminated, but they will also be incredible. What do I mean by that? Well, listen to Paul's words once again from 1 Corinthians 15. He says, our human body is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. Most of my life, I've made it a point to try to get to the gym. I've got a couple of machines in my garage, and I've switched the types of exercises I do in a given week. But you know what? No matter how hard I try at maintaining my physical health, I can't deny that my body today is weaker than when I was in my 20s and 30s. I'm older. I'm more fragile. I'm a little worn down. You know what comes to mind when I ponder the reality of my resurrection body? Thank God I won't have to drag this current frame into eternity. I'm ready for something new, something powerful, something incredible, something that doesn't fall down indiscriminately when you least expect it to. Our resurrection bodies will be astonishing. They'll be full of energy, bursting with enthusiastic power, and perhaps capable of extraordinary functions. If the glorified body of Christ could pass through walls and travel by impulses of thought, maybe we'll be able to do the same thing. Without being dogmatic on the specifics, I'm convinced our glorified bodies will not have the same limitations we have today. We will be more mobile. We'll be able to move from one place to the next without the time that normally it takes today, which means we can cover a lot of ground in any one given day. How wonderful to contemplate traveling around the new earth without fatigue or stress and airport security and tiny seats made for big people. Finally, our new bodies will be infinite. The Bible says it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And, you know, you have to ask this question. What did Paul mean by a spiritual body? That almost sounds like a contradiction. We've already said our bodies aren't immaterial. The word spiritual implies that our bodies will be existing on a higher plane. The basic difference between a natural body and a spiritual body is that the body is suited for life on our current earth. But our spiritual bodies will be suited for life in heaven for eternity with God. Including the new heavens and the new earth, in our current bodies, we could never function in the new heaven and the new earth. We couldn't function in a multi-leveled heaven called the city of Jerusalem. But God's going to give us new bodies that will be like the ones we have now, but completely made over, transformed, and capable of living in both the seen and the unseen realms. But wherever you are on the body cycle, just remember, God's got something special waiting for all of us when we go to heaven. So what have we learned today? We've seen that the resurrection body of Jesus is the pattern for our bodies. It was physical and real. He could be touched. He ate with his disciples. He spoke to them. But his body was also glorified, no longer subject to pain, weakness, or death. He could appear in distant places and pass through locked doors. His body was transformed, and one day ours will be too. But perhaps the most remarkable truth is this. Jesus was recognized not only by his face. No, that was part of it. But he was also recognized by his personality. And men and women, that will be true for us. We won't lose our identity. We'll finally be fully ourselves as God designed us to be. And that brings us to an important reality. The Bible teaches that all will be raised, believers to eternal life, unbelievers to judgment. Just as heaven is real and physical, so is hell. That's why the gospel is so important. The question is not whether you will live forever, because everybody in this room is going to live forever. The real question is, where are you going to live forever? Not whether you'll have a body after death, but where that body will dwell. Will you be with Christ in joy or apart from him in judgment? For those of us who read business books, we probably remember the book Jack, which told the story of Jack Welch's leadership at the General Electric Company. Very controversial book, compelling about how he dealt with his staff. And I read the book and certainly didn't agree with everything, but I did learn some things from the book. And when I saw that he had another book that had come out called Winning, you can imagine my surprise when I skimmed through the book and discovered that someone had actually asked Jack Welch this question. Do you think you will go to heaven when you die? After rambling about how he made some mistakes in his business life and in his two failed marriages, Welch finally got around to answering the question, and here's what he said. So, as far as heaven, who knows? I'm sure not perfect, but if there are any points given out for caring about people with every fiber of your being and giving life all you've got every day, then I suppose I have a shot. It was an honest and heartfelt reflection. But I need to tell you, when it comes to heaven, it's not about having a shot. It's not even about caring for people and giving life your all every day, as noble as those two things might be. Heaven is about putting your trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. When you do that, you don't have to guess about heaven anymore. When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, you can know right now that you're going to spend eternity in heaven with him. I told everybody when I started to do this study on heaven, it's not my goal to make everybody smarter about heaven. It's my goal to take as many people to heaven as I can. I want you to know how wonderful heaven is because I want you to be there and enjoy the blessings that God has prepared for those who love him. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things which God has prepared. So I've just touch the hem of the garment here, just a little bit of some of the cool things about going to heaven in your super body. It's going to be way better than that, way better than I can describe, and I don't even know the nuances to go there except to tell you this is what God's word says, and I'm excited one day I'm going to get a new body, and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven rejoicing and not wondering, did I take my medicine that morning or not? Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for being a part of today's discussion. We are moving our way through these items that come up on the list for What's Heaven All About? And tomorrow we begin a 2-day discussion on the Celestial City. The capital city of heaven is an amazing place described in detail in Revelation 21 and 22. We'll tackle that tomorrow. You won't want to miss it because it's just beyond our ability to describe it. We'll do our best. Heaven's a beautiful place. Someone said, Jesus has been preparing a home for us for all these years. Can you imagine what it's going to be like? He created the world in 7 days. He's working on our celestial home for all these years since he went back, and we're going to have a wonderful place in heaven. Can't wait to tell you about it. Don't forget to ask for your copy of the book, Promise of Heaven, when you send your gift to Turning Point this month, and we'll see you next time right here on this good station.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, The Promise of Heaven, please visit our website, where we also offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly Turning Points magazine and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. Ask for your copy of David's encouraging new book, The Promise of Heaven, 31 Reasons to Get Excited About Your Eternal Home. It is yours for a gift of any amount. Now you can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard, the New International, and the New King James versions, complete with notes and articles from Dr. Jeremiah's decades of study. Get all the details when you visit our website, davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series, The Promise of Heaven. It's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.